Good morning, everyone. We welcome all of you that are visiting today. We're delighted that you're here, and we pray that as we study the Word of the Lord, that good will be accomplished. What a tremendous responsibility we have. In worship unto God is to be done in spirit and in truth, John 4, 23 and 24. And we understand that all of us are to participate in that worship. And we're glad to be able to sing with Hollis as he directs us in these good songs. Brad, as he led us in good prayer. Donnie, as he read the Scriptures, the Word of the Lord. And surely, the encouragement we get from our elders that they speak to us each week. And today, Tommy, and all the others that have a part in our worship unto God. But I hope you understand this in the very beginning. I, as a preacher, have a tremendous responsibility. I have the responsibility to preach to you the Word of the Lord. The Bible, we've been singing, and the Bible emphasizes, send the light of God's Word to all mankind. And we ask the question, will God's preaching of the Word accomplish much in 2017? Well, I know it's going to accomplish that which He pleases, because in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11, as the Word of God is preached, it will accomplish that which He pleases, and it will prosper in the thing whereto He sent it. Now, I've got the responsibility of preaching it. And certainly I want to do that in a way that is pleasing to Him, but also that it's encouraging to you. I want to build you up. I want each one of us to be aware of the truth and certainly be warned against doing that which is evil. As a matter of fact, when Paul was writing to Timothy, here we find it talks about preachers preaching and also people. I charge thee therefore before God. Here's a preacher that now is hearing another preacher. And this man is Paul. And he's saying to Timothy, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. You preach the Word. Do what now? Paul said, preacher, preach the Word. That's what I got to do. I got to do its very best of my ability. I cannot shun to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Here Paul said, you preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season. In other words, do it today, do it tomorrow, do it all the time. And then he uses the expressions, three terms. He says, reprove, and the New King James Version has convince, rebuke, exhort, two negatives and one positive. And he says, do it all with long-suffering and doctrine, speaking the truth in love. What does that mean? It means speaking the truth because you love the people and you love God. And you want to say what God wants you to say in such a manner as we hope that will be convincing to bring about a change on the part of people. That's the whole purpose of preaching. Pleasing God and trying to get people to make a change in their lives. When Paul was writing over in Ephesians 4 and verse 15, he said, speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth because you love God. Speak the truth because you love the people that you're talking to. Tell them what the truth is. Don't hesitate to say what God says in a manner with love and kindness and goodness. But I mean just as adamantly as you can, because you want people to wake up and make a change. And there we find in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10, and with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. There are people that don't love the truth. They won't pay any attention to the truth. But we who are God's people love the truth. We want the truth. Why? Because the truth is the thing that saves us. There was a passage that I found in 2 John, verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. I love you because why? You love the truth. You're walking by the truth. In 2 John verses 1, verse 3, grace be to you, mercy and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. In what? In truth. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. You see it over and over and over in the Bible. truth is something we all love. We want truth to be preached. No wonder there's a reason. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There are people that do not want the truth. There are people that do not want me to preach the truth. There are people that do not and will not abide in the truth. And Paul says the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. That means their own desires. They want what they want. And says they shall heed to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Why? They didn't love it. They don't want the truth to be preached. Why? It gets on to them. Truth is supposed to do something. It makes us free. It changes us. But watch thou in all things. The Bible says, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of your ministry. And there are those who will turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. You know what that word fables means? It means fictitious stories. What does... There are people that know the truth, yes. They don't love the truth. What do? They turn away from that truth. They want to hear something that will tickle their ears. Everybody wants to be encouraged. I want to do everything I can to encourage everybody. But my friend, I've got to preach the truth. And all of us must recognize our responsibility to that. Do you think Paul got that point over to Timothy? Just look at some of the scriptures. Number one, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, he says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Number two, hold fast the pattern of sound words, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 13. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. Fourthly, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2, 15. And you're the servant of the Lord, so you're to be able to do what? Teach the truth, 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, 2 Timothy 3, 16. I think Paul made his point to Timothy. And I think he understood that. But he not only tells Timothy, but at elsewhere. He spent some 2.5 years with the brethren at Ephesus. When he called the elders from Miletus to come. And here we find, look what he tells them in Acts chapter 20. And now behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone, preaching the kingdom of God. What have you been doing the last 2.5 years, Paul? I've been preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. And now he's talking to people that he loved, elders. Loved so much. Now he said, I know that you all among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God, you're not going to see my face anymore. Wherefore I take you to record this day. Boy, that's powerful. I want you to witness for me that what I've done while I was with you, that I am pure from the blood of all men. Why? Because he said, I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Well, Peter, thank God was pleased with his preaching. Acts chapter 2, 36 through 41, about 3,000 people responded. They heard the truth. They were told they were guilty of sinning. They were told that they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. Stephen, Acts 7, oh yes. But he lost his life. He still preached the truth. These men, preachers, are making known God's will. It's preaching to the people. And the question is, are we preachers today? Are we doing the same thing today? The whole purpose is to please God and to convince everybody to change their ways when their ways do not fit in harmony with the will of God. I can't emphasize that enough. Basically, when you hear a hard sermon, what you're doing is when you're hearing God's Word and it's something you're guilty of, don't hesitate to open up your eyes to the truth. Acts 26, verse 18, to open up their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. That's what we're trying to do, is to get us to do the same thing as well as everybody else. In Colossians 1, Paul said that God had delivered us out of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You must know what the people need to help them to change. All right, let's look at some of those things today. Number one, if you're a liar, you're not going to be saved. That's as plain as I know how to put it. And I know one thing. God says very clearly that all liars, you can't lie and don't get forgiveness. You've got to do what is true. In Revelation 21, verse 8, read it to your own selves. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burned with fire and brimstone. Fire and brimstone is the reward for lying. Who in the world wants to be a liar? And if you tell a lie, what are you going to do? You're going to correct it. Why? Because you're going to quit lying. That's the truth. Number two, fornication. Involved in sexual activity that is not within the bounds that God gives. God says clearly, run away from it. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 13. Do what? Quit it. Don't engage in it. And if you have, ask God to forgive you. Do something about it. And don't continue to do it. Number three, stealing. What a problem we have in America. People no longer even respect what belongs to someone else. Even our children sometimes cannot even be. You can't even let them come into your house without them stealing something. Why? So many people do not say what God says about stealing. Let him that stole steal no more. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. The truth is, you're going to be lost. The truth is, God is not pleased with people that steal. So do not steal. Gossip. Destroying other people with the tongue, engaged in all kinds of things that bring about the destruction of someone else. Gossip, gossip, tale-bearing. What does God say? Every word that you say, you're going to have to give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words, you'll be justified. By your words, you'll be condemned. That means elder, that means preacher, that means deacon, that means everybody. Stop it. Why? Preach the truth. Being lazy? Won't even work? God says so clearly in 2 Thessalonians 4 and verse 10, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. What a tremendous responsibility placed upon us by God. As we study His precious will, haughty, pride, proud, listen to God. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Who's to do this? Every one of us. We're so proud sometimes, my friend, we forget who feeds us. We forget who gives us our job. We forget who gives us our health. We forget all about the truth of all the blessings that God has given to us. And we go stubbornly onward with pride. And notice what God says about it. God says, humble yourself. And being so stingy won't share anything with others. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. That means every Christian. That means every child of God. Yes, when you have and you have people that are in need and you can help them, what is as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are the household of faith. Who? You? Me? Why? God says so. Not only is that true, there are people that have just completely become unfaithful to God. They don't worship the Lord faithfully. They don't read their Bibles. They don't pray. And God tells us the only way for us to be acceptable to Him is for us to be faithful to death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. I want to ask you a question. Is there anything that would discourage you to the point of just giving up on God? If there is, you just need to read the truth. You know what? God has said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to strengthen you. All you got to do, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to all of us children of God. Oh, will we ever listen? Be faithful no matter what the consequences. Going to forbidden places. There are some places Christians must not be. There are some places when Christians go there, their influence with others, but boy, what God thinks about us when we do so. Matt in his class, we sing that song, watch your eyes, watch your ears, watch your feet. Why? God's watching. Why? Because you are responsible. Who? All of us who are children of God. May I suggest to you, many are guilty of what I call the D's. Number one, drunkenness. And when God says for us to do what? Abstain from it. In Galatians 5 verses 19 through 21, the Bible says that all unrighteousness will lead us ultimately away from God. For the works of the flesh are these, drunkenness. Boy, don't we have a problem today even among young people. Drugs. Everywhere. We're having a problem in America today. Why? Because of drugs. The mind. Change the mind. How horrible to find that. I saw a woman not long ago. She wanted to sell something, and I tell you what, I honestly believe all she wanted to sell it for was to go out and get some more drugs. Why? Dressing immodestly. If God came today, how we dress in the presence of others is important to Him. Dresses, pants, pantsuits. Why are we wearing what we wear anyway? God tells us in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 through 10, that women are to adorn themselves in modest apparel. Guess what? That's everywhere. Who? God's people. And some of them can't be, even when you look at them, dressed in such a way as to be so immodest. Why won't we listen? Who's going to change? Somebody says everybody's doing it. Not God's people. Not those who love the Lord. Not those who love the truth. I was driving down the Highway 72 the other day. Pulled up by a car when we stopped. And I want to tell you this morning, I couldn't believe my ears with the music. And God's name in vain. Using four-letter words. I just could not believe that on the radio, theming out loud, music that will affect one's mind and bring about the displeasure of God. Let me use about three illustrations. What about marriage, divorce, and remarriage? What does God's Word say about it? He gives one exception to marriage, and that is for fornication. Jesus makes it clear in Matthew 19, verse 9. Somebody says, I don't believe that. All right. You'll find it in the day of judgment. The Bible is so clear. Whosoever shall put away his wife except to be for fornication and shall marry another committeth adultery. Who said that? Jesus. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away committeth adultery. Who said that? Jesus. Don't wait till you get before the judgment seat of Christ and then to hear the Lord say, you can't go in. Why? You didn't respect my word. My word concerning marriage. Number two, God's word tells us to tell the truth. I mean, be honest. And when you're not, admit it. Do something about it. Why? Are the majority of people that I'm hearing, majority of Americans liars? You know what the Bible tells us about some during the days of the New Testament? One of them says, even a prophet of their own said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. I want to suggest to you this morning when you preach the truth, you're going to tell people what the truth demands out of us. And if you tell a lie, get it corrected and quit it. Number three, what does God say about forsaking the assemblies? Oh, guys said a whole lot, yes. Matt Burns. But what is the truth? What does God say? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful and promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner some is. Who wants to hear that? I do. Everybody that loves the Bible wants to. What does it say? It says what it means. It means what it says. God says that exhort one another and so much the more you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Can you just go to church anytime you want to and everything's okay? What does God say? He tells you. And my friend, I read this by Brother Gus Nichols about people don't go on Sunday night. And I know some people can't. Old people, if it's dark outside, they can't drive. If people are sick, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about making the choice. You choose that you will not go. Think about it. Brother Gus Nichols was a preacher for many years. He wrote this. I love the church that Jesus built and know that it is right. I go there every Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I love to sing the songs of God. Such worship must be right. And this I do on Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. I love to hear the gospel too. It gives me pure delight. I hear it every Sunday morning, but not on Sunday night. And may God bless our preacher too and give him power and might and put a sinner in my place that worship Sunday night. It's true. The church can save the world if good light shines bright. I help it every Sunday morn, but not on Sunday night. And this one. Yes, all of us must one day die. I hope I'll be doing right. So may I die on Sunday morn, but not on Sunday night. How serious are you about worship? Somebody says, God, you say too much about that. Well, what does God say? Forsaking the assembling of oneself together? I ask you, is it a serious thing with God? Why did He have that written if He didn't mean it? Because He means it. Then you ask people about what God expects a sinner to do to be saved. You can ask 10 preachers. I heard one the other day. He was talking to probably over 10,000 people. And he told these people, all you need to do is to say the sinner's prayer. Would somebody tell me where the sinner's prayer is? Would somebody show me in the Bible where the sinner's prayer is listed as being the basis of one's being able to be a Christian and be able to be in the church? He said a few sentences. And he said, now if you just said that, God saved you right now. You're in the kingdom of God. You're in the church. You're saved forever. But he didn't give a verse for that. Is Is that what God says? Absolutely not. I want to tell you, my friends, this morning, every sinner is told the same thing to do by God. The Bible says you must hear, Romans 10:17. You must believe, John 8:24. You must repent, Acts 17:30-31. You must confess, Matthew 10:32-33. And you must be baptized. 1 Peter 3:20, and you must be faithful. Now let's go back and look at those scriptures quickly. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17, that answers it. I've got to hear what the Word of God says. And then in John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Who said that? Jesus. What do you got to do? You got to believe in Him. Acts 17:30-31, the times of this ignorance God winked at. But now, what? Now He commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed the day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. Yes, you've got to confess. And here is one I hope and pray to God that you never forget. Jesus said, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Don't forget to be baptized. For in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. How can you be saved without that which saves you? Not baptism alone, but without it you can't. And then Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. Some people won't pay a bit of attention to what I've had to say. If it's not true, I don't want you to. But it is true. Listen to it. Not because I said it, because God says it. Jesus had many that were following after Him. He taught them that He was the bread of life. They didn't like that. They ceased following Christ. He told them the truth. In Matthew 15:1-9, do you not know, the disciple says, that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this, what you have just said? Matthew 15:12, listen to what the master teacher says. In Matthew 15:13, but He answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. And there's no doubt about that. He's got to be the planter. And then He adds, leave them alone. They be blind leaders to the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus was only telling the people the truth. Some do not and will not obey Him. Straightforward? Yes. Needful? Hopefully. Applicable to every single one of us who's guilty of anything there. What are we going to do? Cease following Jesus? I want to ask you something. When you turn away from Him, you don't have nothing. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and we are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Love the truth. Love the souls. I don't want a single one of you to be lost, and I don't want to be lost either. I won't be saved and you won't either. Whether we're preacher, elder, deacon, class teacher, whoever, unless we do what the Word of God says. You see the importance of what Paul told Timothy. Preach the Word. You be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth. They shall be turned into fables. But God said, you preach the truth. There'll be those that will hear the truth. There'll be those that will make a change. Will that be you? Will that be me? May God help us to know the truth and walk in. If I can help you in any way this morning, oh, how much I love you. I want you to go to heaven. If you never hear me preach again, I want to be free from the blood, your blood and mine too, by just simply speaking the truth in love for your soul by telling you plainly what God says. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, won't you come to Jesus this morning? I can't do anything for you other than pray for you. When you come to Jesus Christ, you can empty your heart. You can empty your soul. God, I've made a mistake. I've sinned. Help me to do better and mean it. If you've never been a Christian, to be obey the gospel of Christ. Be baptized this morning, won't you? Yes, He's knocking. Will you hear Him and obey Him? Well, together we stand and walk.